inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Logan, you wanted to start buying rental properties, but you had a problem that I think a lot of people have. What was going on?
Yep. So honestly, it was just finding a cash flowing property. You know, my area is very expensive. I live in an extremely expensive market in Nassau County on Long Island, New York. And so I had to look further away. And so ultimately, I found a town that was about an hour and a half away from me. And that is where I was able to find the pretty good deals and saw that the numbers actually worked there. And I was able to run those numbers and calculate them. And I was able to generate, at least at that time, a minimum of a 10-12% return consistently. I was finding with all the properties in that area.
Logan started buying rental properties about a year and 4 months ago. And in that time, he's bought two single families and a duplex. And on the podcast today, we're going to talk about how Logan's been able to do all this from about an hour and a half away. We'll talk about how he researched the area that he ended up buying in. We'll talk about how he found properties. And we'll take a look at his numbers. And we're also going to talk about a couple of things that Logan's doing that kind of concern me a little bit. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Logan. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056.
Rental Income Podcast.
What made you look out of town? Like, what was going on with the pricing nearby?
So the first and third properties are the ones that are about an hour and a half away. The second property is closer to me. But you know, one of the big problems, especially in my area, was that it was just really hard to find a cash flowing property. I live in an extremely expensive market in Long Island, and unfortunately, a single family just doesn't work. No matter how hard you try to fudge the numbers, unfortunately, it just doesn't cash flow. So I had to look elsewhere, and I had to look much further away. So the county next to mine, Suffolk County, it's definitely a lower living expense in a lot of these cities and towns in that area compared to Nassau County. And so there's an area in there, the Mastic Shirley area, and Mastic Beach is where two of my properties are, both single family units. And there, you know, it does have a bad reputation. It does have lower income and definitely higher crime. But I saw that the area was getting a lot better over the years. I saw the trend that the population was growing a bit, the income was up, and the property values have also skyrocketed in the last 5-10 years. And so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to buy something that could potentially be undervalued and has a lot of room for appreciation.
Yeah, that's good. So it sounds like you did a lot of research on the local economy before you ended up buying your first property.
Absolutely. I definitely ran those numbers tons of times before I even bought my first property. I looked at the areas. I looked up if they had bad reputations or what was wrong with the areas and why the properties were lower there. And so I definitely did market research and kind of did a market sweep of basically every town on Long Island.
How did you found the area and the town looked good. Did you drill down into specific neighborhoods that you were looking for? Or like how close did you get in your research before you started looking at properties?
So I actually did start looking in my local area. That was probably my first thought, was just to look around me. And I actually did look at a couple of properties, maybe about 20 minutes away from me in some cities in Nassau County. And the numbers would have worked. It would have cash flowed, but the return just wasn't there. I saw that I was able to generate a much higher return about, you know, in that city about an hour and a half away from me. And in Suffolk County, especially a year and a half ago at this point, right before the pandemic or in the midst of the pandemic, you could have scooped up properties at a pretty good price. And there's been a lot of appreciation over this last year and a half or so. And so, you know, I didn't really know where I was going to start. Maybe I thought I was going to do commercial, like a storefront, buy a couple retail places, or maybe I was going to just buy one house, spend everything that I had to my name and just put it all in that one house. I didn't really know where I was going to begin, but I definitely knew that residential would probably be a better move just because you know, especially with the pandemic, with so much in retail and commercial real estate failing and unfortunately not doing well. So I definitely shifted my mind towards residential and started only looking in laser focus at residential. And I saw the cash flow potential in Suffolk County, and you know that there is so much opportunity there.
So, all right. So once you narrowed it down to Suffolk County, did you find a lot of people feel more comfortable working with an investor-friendly agent? Did you find like an investor-friendly agent, or did you just find a realtor, or did you look for properties on your own?
Yeah, not necessarily investor-friendly. You know, that first property I bought with an agent that was not too far away from that area. So he definitely had a slight understanding of that area and knew that it had a bad reputation. He was definitely aware of that. I think his office was located roughly about a half an hour away from that area. So he was able to tell me about the area and that, you know, he was pretty honest and blunt with me that it does have that bad reputation. And certainly, it definitely has a higher crime rate than other areas in Suffolk County. But I took the chance and took a gamble.
Yeah. Now, flash forward to today, because it always makes me nervous when investors, and especially new investors, are buying in an area that isn't that great or has a lot of crime. A lot of times those properties can look good on paper, but in actuality, they end up being a lot of trouble. Just flash forward to today. Have you had problems with your properties?
So in that area, there have been a few incidents. So for example, with my first property, the tenant, unbeknownst to me, actually had a cat. And unfortunately, that cat was stolen right from the porch of her house and it was caught on video. I think the police report was filed to that neighbor that stole that cat. I'm not sure what exactly happened with that. Haven't been updated, but that was one incident. I have heard that there are some not so nice people on the block, some bad hombres, if you will. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something. And then I've also had an experience actually going to see and look at a property in that area where it was quite a crazy story, where essentially I wasn't going back to that property or ever looking at it again.
Okay. So with your cash flow, the projections that you made before you bought your first property, have they turned out to be about right, or has the property or have the properties not performed as well as you had hoped?
So for that first property, it performed exactly how I expected and hoped. And that's okay, because it was quite an interesting story. I got a bit lucky with that first property. Basically, what happened is the owner that sold it to me actually wanted to rent it from me. I think she had some living arrangement lined up. I don't know if it's come to fruition. I don't know if it ever will. But there's definitely a lot of room for rent increase. And so, you know, we signed that lease right before closing. And so I knew the numbers even before closing on the property, exactly what I was going to get for rent. And so I got pretty fortunate with that first property. And like I said, there is a lot of room for rent increase there. And so it's actually below market value. And so it's been performing quite well.
Okay,
and the area
awesome.
Does cash flow.
And your other property in that area, has that also done as well as you had projected?
So when we first originally listed it, you know, I was trying for a higher rent than what I'm getting right now. So we did have to adjust and drop the price a little bit here and there. But ultimately, it still cash flows very nicely.
Okay.
And it's still generating a decent return.
Are you managing the properties yourself, or do you have a local property manager?
All the properties are managed by myself, and I don't even drive. I don't even have a license. I don't have a car. So, you know, whenever something goes wrong or something happens, I just call over a local plumber or someone in the area. I know the area quite well in that specific city, and I know the plumbers and heating technicians, whatever that's needed. I have some good connections and relationships in that area, so that's how I've been doing it.
That's incredible. I mean, it's like you're an hour and a half away by car, but without having a car, it's like you might as well be 10 hours away.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, so how has that worked out? Like there hasn't been anything that you physically needed to be at the property for?
No, actually. In fact, I have not been to that property other than looking at other properties in the area and just driving by that property just on a whim. I haven't actually had to go to that property at all since I closed on it, that first deal. Now, my second deal, that one is closer to me. It's only about 10 minutes away. And I have had to go to that property a handful of times just to do basic maintenance and also to find a tenant for that area, for that specific property. So, but those two properties that are in that town, hour and a half away from me, I haven't had to go there, and no problems where I've had to be present.
That's incredible. And how are you collecting rent?
all digitally, Cash App, Zelle.
Okay.
The tenants are very familiar with that, and it's been working out great.
And when something breaks, you just find a local handyman to go over and fix it?
Exactly, right.
Okay.
Plumber, yep. Electrician, I've had to call a few people. And unfortunately, you know, their prices have definitely gone up with the pandemic.
Sure.
And inflation that we're in right now. But you have to always account for that and have reserves. And that's a big mistake that a lot of first-time investors make, is that they don't account for maintenance and repairs and those reserves.
Yeah.
And they ultimately go under.
That's so important. Yeah, exactly. You got to put money aside for repairs, you know, vacancy, CapEx. Yeah, that's really important. Now, talk me through, like, say for that property, the second property, where the first property, the person you bought it from ended up staying so that you didn't have to show the property. But for the other property, how did you find a tenant? Like, how did you show the property where, you know, you're not able to get in there to show the property? How did you do that?
Yeah, that was all just through my agent, my broker, and they were nice enough to, you know, because for my second and third property, I used a different agent than I did for my first one, just because the second one was closer to me, so I ended up using the agent closer to me, and I've been working with that agent for a long time now. So they were nice enough to actually drive out a few times, you know, do that hour and a half drive each time to show the property. And unfortunately, because it is a lower income area and it does attract some people that are on Section 8 and, you know, are probably time wasters, we did have to show it to a lot of people before we actually got someone that was remotely eligible or barely met the criteria. So I also took a gamble with that second tenant in that single family unit.
Okay.
The income was there, but the credit was not necessarily there.
Yeah.
But I said, you know what, let me take a risk on them. And it's been working out great so far.
And so you're not interested in Section 8?
So the thing with Section 8 is that I'm not opposed to it. But the problem is New York is heavily regulated with Section 8. And there's actually a law where you can't take more money over the amount that the Section 8 voucher allows. I know a lot of landlords do it. I'm sure they do it. But if you ever get caught, that could potentially be a penalty or maybe even jail time. So New York has some very strict regulations, and I have to try to work around those.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Well, let's take a look at the numbers for your entire portfolio and see how this is all working out. So with your four units, how much total rent do you bring in every month?
So between all four units, the three properties, total, it brings in exactly $10,300 a month in gross rent.
All right. So then your mortgage payments, how much are they?
So the first property, that mortgage payment is $1,598. Second one is a duplex. That's why it's a lot more. That's $3,811. And then the most recent property I just closed on in June of this year, 2022, that mortgage payment is $1,956.
Okay.
So then you also have to account for that for the duplex, my second property. I do cover water and gas, so that's a couple $100s. So in total, we're looking at, and then if you account for repairs, we're looking at roughly about $7,600 total.
Okay, so that includes water for the duplex, and does that also include your taxes and insurance?
Yeah, those payments all include taxes and insurance. That's all escrowed.
Okay.
And so yeah, water and gas is included in the duplex. I cover that as
well. Okay. All right, so you bring in $10,000. $300 in rent. And then when you add up all those fixed expenses, what was the total?
About $7,600.
$7,600. Okay. So then you've got $2,700 left over. Now, you mentioned earlier about setting money aside for repairs and vacancy. How do you work with that? So you've got $2,700 every month, as long as everyone pays rent. How are you setting money aside? How do you budget for repairs and vacancy?
So yeah, I'm definitely a bit more of an aggressive, riskier investor. It's not like I necessarily have a year's worth of savings saved up in a nest egg just sitting on my mattress. So I'm definitely a bit more risky, and I'm definitely more of a gambler. I definitely have that mentality. So I keep very, very little cash, actually. Most of my money is majority in property. And so I do also have, though, roughly about $30,000 in credit lines from credit cards. So I definitely keep that handy, and that definitely helps. And I also have a HELOC as well on my second property against the equity in that home. So that's ready to go if needed. But otherwise, I actually don't keep too much cash. It's really mostly into the properties. Okay. But if I ever need something, I try to put it on credit or whatever cash I may have.
So then that $2,700 a month, you're basically spending that? Or like that?
I'm not much of a spender. I put that in stocks. You know, I try to just hoard that cash, put it away, and act as if I don't even have that money.
Okay. Do me a favor. You know, you're off to a great start. You're doing great, but try to set a little bit of money aside, maybe even $1,000 a month, because you're going to have a time. I guarantee you, you're going to have a time when you have two vacancies at the same time and a water heater goes, and having that extra cash is going to really save you. So just, if I can give you any advice, just try to save some money. That makes me really nervous that you're not building up money.
Understandable for sure. I try to keep it in stocks, try to keep it a little bit in cash, but I'll try to build my nest egg a little bit more to account for a vacancy.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to say you're off to such a great start. I just would hate to see something bad knock you out of the game here. So looking back, I mean, you bought at a great time, you know, right in the, I guess it was kind of the middle of the pandemic. Did you have any nervousness that, you know, there was a, you know, looking back on it, it was a great time to buy. I mean, the prices have appreciated a lot. The rents have gone up. But at the time, did you have any nervousness that maybe this isn't a good time to buy a rental property?
Absolutely. There is always the fear of the unknown. There were so many unknowns going, especially into my first deal. I had so many fears and concerns that this can go wrong and that it can go sideways this way. And especially all my properties are actually in flood zones, which is pretty hard to avoid being on Long Island, that, you know, we got hit very hard with Hurricane Sandy in 2012. So what if a hurricane comes, which could happen at any point, and wipes out all my properties? That's definitely a concern. But you kind of have to put those concerns behind you, and you can only gain so much knowledge. And it's until you actually execute and do it and take that action and take that step that you'll actually make progress and get things done. And that's how you gain a lot of wisdom and experience. And I've definitely gained that throughout my short career as an investor.
Logan, you're making me really nervous. So everything is in a flood zone, every one of your properties?
It is. That is correct. But I have insurance on all of them.
Okay. So that's but you have just a regular landlord policy, or do you have, like, because like a regular landlord policy won't cover floods, like you need a specific flood policy? Do you have a specific flood policy?
Right. I have dwelling as well as flood insurance, and okay, flood insurance, those rates have gone up. They've skyrocketed. Just on my second property, I got the bill recently, and it doubled actually over the last year. So I had to cancel that and shop around for a new policy. And so that's definitely, you know, factored into the expenses. Okay. And also, you know, my dwelling policy is for landlords, so it has an umbrella policy. So I have like $500,000 in liability if needed.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Now, with your duplex, with that property being closer to you, has that been easier? Like, has it made a difference? Like, does it matter if your rental is an hour and a half away or 10 minutes away?
I think psychologically, I sleep a little bit better with that property. I think I don't think about it as much. And it's kind of like my baby, just because it's so close to me. And it's definitely in a great area. You know, that's the city right next to mine. It's literally the next city. And it's a fantastic area. It's appreciated a lot. And I really want to try to hold that property for as long as possible. I don't foresee myself getting rid of it anytime soon. And so I think I do sleep a little bit better with that property compared to the other ones.
I think it's great that Logan bought four rentals in his first year and a half. I love seeing people take action, and I love seeing people get started buying rental properties. But there's a couple of things that Logan said during the interview that really concern me. And I know Logan is comfortable with the risks that he's taking, but for anyone that's maybe a new investor or anyone that's thinking about getting started, I just wanted to point these things out to you, and do whatever you want with this information, but it'll help me sleep better at night knowing that I pointed this out to you. The first thing is that Logan is buying properties in what he describes as a bad area. And you can be very successful. You can make a lot of money investing in bad areas. We've had a ton of people on the podcast that have done it. But the one thing that I've noticed is that people that invest in bad areas are very hands-on with their rentals, or they have a property manager that's very hands-on. I think it's a very difficult thing to manage a property in a bad area when you're an hour and a half away and you don't drive. I think Logan may have a tough time. It sounds like he's got good tenants right now, but these properties tend to turn over a lot. They tend to have a higher expense cost. Tenants are just rougher on these properties for whatever reason. So Logan may have a tough time at some point. So just be careful buying properties in bad areas. These properties a lot of times look great on a spreadsheet, but they end up being a huge hassle in real life. So just keep that in mind. The second thing is that Logan said that he doesn't save any cash. And, you know, that makes me really nervous because there's going to come a time when Logan's going to get hit with a big expense or he's going to have a bunch of vacancy. And to be successful with rental properties, you really have to have some cash. It's so important to put some cash aside. How much to put aside is really a personal decision. During the interview, I said $1,000 a month. And, you know, I think in Logan's case, that's better than nothing, but just put something aside. Definitely build up some cash and have some cash reserves for when a tough time comes. The third thing I wanted to talk about was Logan said that his properties are in a flood zone. And he said he has flood insurance, but from the way that he answered the question, I'm not 100% convinced he actually does. So if you're going to buy a property in a flood zone, make sure you get flood insurance. Flood insurance is really expensive. The deductibles are really high. It can be a lot of problems. You can have a lot of problems buying a property in a flood zone. So try to avoid buying a property in a flood zone, but if you have to, definitely make sure you have flood insurance. And so that's it. Otherwise, you know, I think Logan, he sounds like a very smart guy. I really hope he's successful with this, but these couple of things really make me nervous. And hopefully we can check in with Logan in the future and hopefully everything works out for him. If anybody is interested in following Logan online, he has a YouTube channel, and you can find that at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode391. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chailey is a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs. She has interest-only options. She has adjustable rate mortgages. If you don't have the best credit, she has a loan program where she won't check your credit score. She just wants to see that you have a good deal. She's got something for everybody. If you want to find out more, or if you want to set up a time to talk to Chailey personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. Make sure you hit that follow button and you'll be notified every single Tuesday when I put out a new episode. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.